host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Today is Sunday, October 25th, 2015. And as you guys know, we're back. We did have some website downtime this week, and that was really nobody's fault, basically an internet foobar, so to speak. Basically, we left a setting on that we shouldn't have. We had the deal with our host to get that resolved. Everything is obviously now working, as you can see, so hopefully we didn't lose too many of you in the transition, but we are back and most thankful to do that. So in this episode of the Nerd News Network, I've actually been doing a couple of radio tours this past week, and I've been talking about Star Wars. So later on in this episode, I'm going to play you the audio that I did for 900 CHML on the Scott Thompson Show, which is a station in Hamilton. Hamilton's talk radio, I believe, is the tagline. And I talk about The Force Awakens, which is pretty kick-ass. I've also got my usual roundup of news. I also have two features to do in this one. First one is a website that contacted me and wanted to talk about the services they offer, and that's buycostumes.com. And surprisingly, I was actually very surprised how quickly things even got to Canada. So if you order from these guys, all things considered, you should have everything ready for Saturday. So I'll talk a little bit about my experiences with them a little bit later on in the show. And finally, I'll give you my brief thoughts on LEGO Dimensions coming to us from Traveler's Tales and Warner Brothers. Let's just say this game has become my new crack, so to speak. So anyway, I guess let's talk about some of the big news that happened this past week. And one of the most interesting things that has happened is YouTube is getting a paid service. And you might be thinking, whoa, well, what the hell does that mean? Well, for $9.99, so for the price you're paying for Netflix or Hulu Plus without the commercials, you can get access to YouTube Red. Not RedTube. That's a porn site. So what that means is that you can watch videos, but you also get access to Google Music. You can download the videos for offline viewing, and you can play videos in the background or something like that. Now, this is kind of screwed up because YouTube has been talking to video creators for a little bit while, and they say it's about prioritizing user experience above all else. And that means if creators don't sign a YouTube Red contract, their videos will be marked private, meaning nobody will see them. Otherwise, YouTube Red subscribers would be unable to access videos that non-subscribers would have access to, which means subscribers would be getting less content from what they would on free YouTube. Now, a YouTube spokesperson spoke to Gizmodo and said, "Both creators and users have been asking for a YouTube subscription service, and that's why we built YouTube Red. Today, the overwhelming majority of our partners, representing nearly 99% of the content watched on YouTube, have signed up. Videos of partners who don't update their terms will be made private, but we remain committed to working closely with these partners with the goal of bringing them on board." I'd kind of like to know how they came up to this 1%. Now, as of, I think, Thursday, there's a petition going around called Stop YouTube Red, and it's garnered close to 6,000 signatures. Let's check what it's sitting at right now. Currently sitting at 12,000 supporters, so obviously things have changed in the last little bit. So people seem kind of pissed, so to speak. However, though, certain big YouTube partners, such as PewDiePie, has signed on. In fact, he's actually going to be getting an exclusive show for YouTube Red. I think it's called something like PewDiePie Scares or something, and it's from the executive producers of The Walking Dead, where they put PewDiePie in situations similar to video games and try and scare the shit out of them. Yay, I guess. I think maybe give no fucks, pretty much. And I don't know. I'm very curious to see how this is going to affect some of my favorite YouTubers. Because as you guys know, I'm friends with people like Angry Joe, the Game Chasers, other people like, say, Pixel Dan. I'm just very curious to see how this is going to work and how it's going to change the landscape of YouTube. Now, some people are predicting this is the end of times and blah, blah, blah. I'm very curious to see how this is all going to work out. Myself, I don't know. Now, I often say, yeah, I want to get rid of the ads. But to those people, obviously, there's ad block, right? Which kind of fucks over people. But this is the reason, I guess part of the reason why YouTube is doing this. Because you don't, the way you make money is through sponsorships or advertising. And if people are, you know, blocking your ads. What are you going to do? I watch a majority of my YouTube on Xbox, so I don't have the option to use ad block. And I wouldn't necessarily, because I watch videos on my phone. I figure I can sit through an ad, you know, if I'm helping out my favorite content creator. Unless it's that Ty Lopez asshole, in which case he can die in a fire. I would ad block him all day just so he dies in a fire in that stupid little Lamborghini of his. I hate that guy. But anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how this affects YouTubers. Although, currently, YouTube is giving content creators 55% of the ad revenue that's generated on their content. Now, YouTube is saying YouTube Red will give partners a majority of the subscription revenue that they bring in, but they haven't specified the amount, but it will be based on watch time. So I'm very interested to see how this all kind of works out. And it launches, I think, Wednesday, I want to say. I think it's on the 28th is when everything launches. So I don't know, guys. I guess it's going to be a very interesting time to be a Netflix experience having that on YouTube. I'm very curious to see what these new shows are going to be, these new exclusives. I know there's one coming from the Fine Brothers, the guys who did that blah, blah, blah reacts to. There's going to be something from College Humor. I think something from Rooster Teeth. I think Epic Rap Battles has signed on to do something with them. I'm not 100% sure. I could give a shit less about the PewDiePie stuff, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Okay, so moving on to my next story. Whoa! Canadian Netflix subscribers will be the first in the world to be able to stream The Force Awakens. So, The Force Awakens will hit Netflix in my country, Canada, about 8 months after the movie leaves theaters. So, 8 months after it leaves theaters. So I'm guessing probably we'll probably see it in September or August. That'd be my guess. And weirdly enough, it comes down to prior agreements. Disney has existing agreements with Starz, although it appears Disney's 2016 films will be fair game for the streaming service. So this story, courtesy of io9.com, is buried in the report, is that Disney and Netflix were talking about the possibility of bringing past Star Wars installments to viewers. The animated show Clone Wars can already be found there. I think it makes sense. I mean, ultimately, you really should be putting all the Star Wars content out there you can to build the hype up. I mean, there's the six movies. There's the Clone Wars. I think they really should put Ewoks and droids out there. And honestly, people want it. Why the hell not? Just put the Star Wars Christmas special out. Put it on, just put it on Netflix or Hulu or something. Now, I know, obviously, Lucas doesn't, he doesn't control this stuff anymore because it's all Disney now. You put that out as a holiday DVD. You donate part of the sales to charity or something. I guarantee you, that Blu-ray will sell like, it will sell like the early bird packaging for Star Wars. It will sell ridiculous amounts. And people will pay it. So, I think that's really awesome. In fact, I'm actually just watching Star Wars Rebels now. My sister-in-law, Kara, got me the first season on Blu-ray. I'm thinking, man, this is really freaking cool. So, I really hope they bring Rebels to Netflix eventually as well. I do need to finish Clone Wars, although I watched most of the first season, and I've seen bits and pieces of everything else. So, I just need to finish that, because hopefully for Terrible Warriors next year, I have a really cool idea for a campaign. And it'll be very, very, very cool. So what we're going to do right now, because we're talking about Star Wars, we're going to take a small break and check out my interview that I did with 900CHML Scott Thompson talking about The Force Awakens. When we come back, I've got one more weird news story, and then we're going to talk about buycostumes.com and LEGO Dimensions. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
Some people are foaming at the mouth right now. Some people are in the fetal position just shaking and crying. They're so happy. No, not because Justin Trudeau got in. Because the new Star Wars trailer is out. It's better than sex. Huh? I didn't say that. It's 900 CHML. I'm Scott Thompson. Jake the Snake in the house. Last night, if you were... See, I thought there was really only a couple of things to worry about last night. That being, of course, the election and the baseball game. But I forgot that all the trailer for Star Wars. What could make this night any greater? An election? A Blue Jay win? And a Star Wars trailer. Last night, between the election coverage and the Blue Jays game, the newest Star Wars trailer was released. Actually, it was released, and we're talking about Star Wars, The Force Awakens. It debuted on ESPN during this week's Monday Night Football game, perhaps the most anticipated halftime outside of a Super Bowl. Wow, what's it coming to when the release of a trailer is almost as big an event as the movie itself? To talk more about all of this, Mike Dodd is with us, executive producer for ThisWeekInGeek.net, and he is on the line with us now. Good afternoon, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, how's it going?
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us. We appreciate it. First of all, how big an event is this? How big of an event is it when it appears the trailer is something that stops traffic?
Monumentally huge. The fact that Disney chose to premiere this before, the Super Bowl, I guess because it comes out in
December.
But still, that's a pretty big deal. The fact that they've held the trailer back for this long, the fact that they didn't show it during D23, during August, I don't know, I really think Disney knows they've got a winner on their hands, and the fact that they chose to go with something like, say, Monday Night Football or something like that, I think kind of speaks to the audience they want to bring in, because they know... The jocks that are out there, they know they're going to come to this because everybody loves Star Wars. I mean, really, who doesn't?
You hit the nail on the head. Everybody loves Star Wars. Why would they do this during a football game? Is there that much of a crossover audience, or is this like anything? Monday Night Football is an event, and so is a Star Wars trailer.
Well, I would say kind of both. Because you have to think that a lot of the people watching the football now, they're probably in our range, 30 to 35 years old. So these are the kids that grew up with the Star Wars movies in theaters, the ones that were the re-releases back in the 90s, plus we had the prequels in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So we know we love Star Wars, but this is our chance to see something new. So they're thinking, you know what? Let's see what happens. And they know there's going to be that crossover appeal, too. And even the older fans of Star Wars, the ones who saw it back in 77 and the 80s, they're going to be just as invested as the kind of younger generation. So let's put as many butts in seats as we possibly can.
So you're not surprised by the reaction to this. And again, obviously, the Star Wars franchise, like a James Bond franchise, it's gone for years. Obviously, that's adding a lot of depth to the interest.
I mean, you look at the amount of interest people are having in Star Wars right now. I mean, we had Force Friday, which happened back in September, where all the new toys had come out on shelves. There was even an event in Toronto where Hasbro Canada invited journalists to come out and witness a worldwide unboxing from all around the world of all the new toys. In fact, I even got caught up in Star Wars fever myself. I went to a website, buycostumes.com. Hmm. And watched the Star Wars trailer in a Stormtrooper helmet last night, and I'm not ashamed to say that.
And what a coincidence this is all coming out in time for Christmas, not only with a big movie, but think of the merchandising behind this one.
Oh, yeah. This thing is going to be like a merchandising juggernaut. To go back to the kind of Stormtrooper helmet I bought, normally you'd think you'd see that in typical, just ordinary kind of Star Wars packaging. No, this stuff is branded Force Awakens, which is kind of funny because the Stormtrooper in Force Awakens is different than the one that actually appears in the movie. The one in the movie is called the First Order Stormtrooper, which has a different style helmet, yet this is the classic Empire type kind of Stormtrooper helmet. So they realize they can put all sorts of old stuff in new packaging. It will sell. Hmm. But some of the new stuff is really awesome. There's one toy, I'm not sure of the company who makes it, but it's that little sphere droid. And it's called BB-88 or BB-8, and it's a little Android robot that can be controlled by your phone via Bluetooth. And this thing is moving around on the floor, and it's remarkably cool.
So this was obviously a pretty good buy for Disney. Disney made a good buy when they purchased this franchise.
Absolutely, because you have to think, these guys are the imagination engineers. These guys are basically childhood to billions of children across the planet. And with them holding the Marvel license for, like, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, whatever, they got comic books. Now they have one of the most iconic movie franchises of all time, and they're going to open a Star Wars theme park in the next couple of years.
You could see that coming, though, couldn't you? I mean, you know, they're not just purchasing this for the movies. I mean, you think about the potential there are for movies. Think about the potential with a theme park.
Oh, my God. Like, it's supposed to open in the next, I think, 2 or 3 years. I haven't had my honeymoon yet, but if you... But, my God, I'm so going to have my honeymoon in the Falcon. I'm going to have... Star Trench, so to speak. It's going to be amazing.
How do you think George Lucas is feeling now?
I'm sure he's like Scrooge McDuck swimming in a money bin, just going, ha, 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 ha.
But, you know, obviously you're going to see this franchise reinvigorated with the Disney purchase. You have already. And, of course, once this thing rolls out in the next few years and there's, you know, more sequels off of this one and then the park coming out, they're certainly taking it to the next level.
Speaking with Alan Tudyk last week, the guy who was from Firefly. He actually has a role in Star Wars Rogue One, which comes out next year, and that's the story of how they stole the original Death Star plans. I never thought I'd see a Star Wars movie that didn't involve Jedi. We're going to see, like, the Star Wars version of, like, Top Gun or Star Wars meets, like, Rainbow Six or something.
What do you think about these tickets selling out for opening night and the fact that they're actually being sold on eBay?
This is almost 40 minutes to get my tickets, and I live in a small town.
This was almost exciting as, like, a release of a new Apple phone. I mean, you know, everybody's lining up for this.
Oh, yeah, and the fact that we don't have to pay, like, $9 million for our phones is also kind of nice, too. I mean, it's going to be so cool. The fact that everybody had all access to this at the same time, you're going to see people at these theaters, young and old. I wonder when the first lineups are going to start, especially here in Canada. It wouldn't surprise me if we already have people getting ready to camp out downtown Toronto to be the first in line for the first showing.
What happens if when everybody shows up to the theater, it's great, well, it's good, but it's not as good as some of the others? Is it possible that this doesn't live up to the hype?
Well, you've got 30 years of hype going behind this, and obviously that's going to be expected. But I think J.J. Abrams, because even if you look back at his work with Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness, I mean, let's be real here. Those are auditions for Star Wars anyway, because of the way that the action was shot. Abrams, I think, is going to knock this one out of the park. I think it's going to be the follow-ups that are going to have to be the real kind of stand of it, because the fact that now with the Star Wars canon, they've wiped out like 20 years of expanded universe. So all the novels, comic books, and certain TV series, etc., have been wiped out. Mm-hmm. So now they are into new frontier, and it's going to be up to them to create as memorable characters and settings as they did previously. And a lot of people are going to be saying, okay, well, Episode 7's out. That's cool. I liked it. But what are you going to do to replace things like Grand Admiral Thrawn, which was a great book series back in the early 90s by Timothy Zahn, and other great stories like that, like the Jedi Academy trilogy by Kevin J. Anderson. So...
The path is set.
I think we're going to be off to a fantastic running start. But where we go after that, I'm not even sure.
How will this stack up against other big movie premieres? Will this beat Avatar? Before that it was Titanic. How do we think this is going to stand up?
Well, let me see. Avatar was Blue Thundercat Smurf people, and that movie, in retrospect, sucked. Titanic, yeah, it was a great movie for its time. But you look at Star Wars, that's a timeless classic. Star Wars is going to beat out this. It's going to beat the Avengers. It's going to beat out that stupid Twilight stuff. This will be the largest opening of all time. I assure you of that.
All right. So is there any way Star Wars fans could be let down in this movie? Is there anything, an event, something that can happen that will leave them with less than a happy feeling leaving the theater?
I think if they kill anybody from the original trilogy from the first movie, I think if they were to kill someone like Luke, Leia, or Han, or even Chewbacca, I think that would be a huge blow to the franchise. And if, you know, if there isn't any higher power in the universe, if somehow Jar Jar Binks makes an appearance, I'm going to see that as a major reason for riots in the streets.
Will this be bigger simply because it will bring back old Star Wars fans who remember the original cast?
I think this is literally passing off the lightsaber to a new generation of fans. You're going to see so many people come together for this, and I don't think anybody's going to really leave disappointed. The fact that we all get to see a new story, new uncharted territory at the same time, I think you're going to see that be a wonderful thing in theaters.
Mike Dodd has been with us, executive producer for This Week in Geek.net, This Week in Geek.net, and of course last night between the election coverage and the Blue Jay game, and of course Monday Night Football, the Star Wars trailer was released. Mike, thanks for the time and insight. Much appreciated.
And may the force be with you.
Back at you.
Thank you very much, 900CHML, for bringing me out to talk about Star Wars. Like I said, obviously, it's a big deal. I love talking anything involving the Force and Jedis and all that stuff. I just think it's a tremendously fun time. Anyway, so what we're going to talk about now is, I promised you a weird story. How would you like to be able to coat your house in wallpaper that is NSA proof? Surely you're thinking, well, what the fuck are you talking about? Well, let me tell you. So a firm in Utah has created a new flexible material that can block electronic emissions. This thing can block signals that could be used for cyber snoofing, can also block electromagnetic doomsday weapons, so think like EMP stuff, and it can also be used to protect drones from flying into enemy territory. So what this thing has created, this new flexible material, can create what's called a Faraday cage, which blocks all electronic transmission. This material could in theory be used as wallpaper to protect entire rooms. So this company called Conductive Composites has created a method to layer nickel on carbon, the form of material that's light and moldable like plastic, yet can disperse energy like a traditional metal cage. The firm goes on to say, our materials integrate game-changing conductivity and shielding performance as part of a multifunctional material system, while preserving the basic weight, cost, and structural, environmental, and manufacturing performance advantages of composites and plastics. That's kind of weird. I think this actually has a lot of interesting applications. I can't see the average person going out of their way to coat their house in this, but why the hell not? It's kind of weird just to think about how people would want to do this, but I could see this being very good for government installations. I could see this being used in the corporate world as well. In my mind, if you can develop something like this, maybe we can further this to radiation, which would improve space travel. But hey, I'm just thinking outside the box. Why the hell not, right? So, yeah, if you want to get a hold of this stuff, I don't know if you actually can. Like I said, you can check these guys out there in Utah, and they're called Conductive Composites. And you can protect yourself against all sorts of things. So you no longer need a tinfoil hat when your house is essentially a huge cyber bunker. Okay. So earlier last week, I was contacted by buycostumes.com, and this very nice woman named Holly sent me an email saying, hey, Mike, do you want to check out this stuff? We're doing something really cool for Halloween. I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. And they originally contacted me about video game costumes. And one of the things I do is I'm a very big part of my geek community up here in Ontario. And there's this local family that I've recently become acquainted with, the Jensens. And I'm like, okay, what's your favorite video game that you don't think you can get a costume for? So I asked the mother, Kelly. She's like, oh, I don't know, Assassin's Creed. Why the hell not? So I'm like, all right, what's your favorite Assassin's Creed game? She's like, oh, the one with the pirate guy, Black Flag, right? I'm like, okay, Edward Kenway. You want to be Edward Kenway. Cool. So I asked her kids, and they're like, what's your favorite game? Oh, I don't know, Halo. right? And obviously, you've seen these big pictures from conventions and whatnot, see these wonderful cosplays. Obviously, take hundreds of hours in sewing and money and blah, 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 blah. Basically, it's an art form, cosplay. So I contacted them over at BuyCos. I'm like, okay, what do you have in Assassin's Creed? What do you got in Halo? And for myself, I'm like, well, I see people like the 501st Legion, and I've seen some stuff from Star Wars costume stuff by, like, say, Dawn Post way back in the day. I'm like, send me something Star Warsy. Okay. So they sent me an Edward Kenway Assassin's Creed costume. Very kick-ass. I'll actually have a picture of that up on our blog for this episode post. And the Halo, and they sent me a pair of the Master Chief gloves. For whatever reason, we couldn't get the Master Chief helmet, shipping reasons or whatever. I think it's probably just sold out. Obviously, Halo 5 dropping on, like, Tuesday. So, got the stuff, and then they sent me a Stormtrooper helmet from Ruby's. And Ruby's is a very well-known helmet manufacturer and costume manufacturer, and they're the official licensee for Star Wars right now. And I was actually very, very surprised how quickly everything got here. I got with the express shipping and premium shipping. I had everything, even across Canada from the States, in like 2 or 3 days. That's amazing. I'm looking at their website right now. If you were to order something on today, which is Sunday, but I presume, like, you know, Monday, if you get it premium, it'll be there on Tuesday. You do express, it'll be there Wednesday. You do standard, it'll be there by Friday. That's pretty amazing. So if you're kind of looking for something to check out, you can definitely do this. They have got tons of costumes from, like, Assassin's Creed. They got Minecraft, Halo stuff, Ninja Turtles. It's kind of neat just to see how much crap is actually out there if you kind of want to do stuff. There's obviously Mario and Luigi stuff. What else did I see on there? I see in, like, Pikachu. They've got the Minecraft Ocelot. You can, like, it's like a hoodie thing, which is kind of cool. Obviously, they have sexy Mario and Luigi, which is kind of weird. But that's a different conversation for a different day, so we're not getting in that. One of the weirder things I saw was a Super Mario's inflatable Yoshi costume. Like, you can ride Yoshi, or say, it looks so weird. I don't even know how to describe it. But they've got Scorpion from Mortal Kombat on there. Sonic the Hedgehog. They got people from Skylanders, which I thought was kind of cool. So, yeah, if you want to go check that out, like I said, that's buycostumes.com. I recommend them. I'm actually going to see if we can do a little bit more with them involving Star Wars, which hits theaters on December 17th, and for Star Wars Battlefront, which comes out on November 17th. So be on the lookout for that. All right, final story this week. I promised you guys we would talk about LEGO Dimensions. So LEGO Dimensions, I got for the Xbox One. This is by Traveler's Tales. They've done all the other LEGO games before it. So what this is, franchise mashup. So the game starts out with Batman chasing Bane through the city with Robin. Robin gets sucked into a portal. Somehow he ends up running into Wild Style, from the Lego Movie, and Gandalf from Lord of the Rings. And there's this guy who wants to capture these pieces from different Lego worlds, and basically they're like the prime building materials, if you will, of reality. So he wants to control this, and with your three main characters of Batman, Gandalf, and Wildstyle, you go through different worlds. Like, you go to Springfield from The Simpsons. You go to the Wizard of Oz. You fight in, I guess, what's the Ninjago stuff from Lego, the Lego Ninja stuff. But you'll also go into Ghostbusters and Scooby-Doo and all sorts of other really, really, really weird things. And it's kind of amazing. In fact, I'm trying to go through the game right now and pick up all the, like, hidden items and everything. So I literally had Marty McFly, Homer Simpson, and the cop from the Lego Movie beat the crap out of a Cyberman from Doctor Who. Oh, and I rescued Clara Oswald as friggin' Batman. It's incredible. And the neat thing is, because it kind of takes the amiibo approach it kind of changes how it is. Like with Amiibo, yeah, you place your thing on your Wii U pad, it gains the stats of your Smash Brothers character, might unlock some costumes, cool, whatever. With LEGO Dimension stuff, you can actually play as that character. You actually have to build it. And you can build the thing by watching it on TV. It'll walk you through step by step how to actually build some of these things. I have probably dumped around $100 or more into this because they sent me the starter pack, which has Batman, Gandalf, and Wild Style. I've got Marty McFly, the DeLorean. I have Benny and Emmett and Bad Cop from the Lego movie. I got the Doctor Who set on order. I got Homer Simpson in his car and something called the Tonto Vision. Oh, I know I've got like one more. I'm looking for the Portal set right now, and I'm looking for the Scooby-Doo set, and I hate Scooby-Doo. Really do. Flaming Passion, hate that guy. But I want it because of the Mystery Machine. Somebody actually did a really cool mashup of Mad Max and Scooby-Doo. So Shaggy's riding the front of the Mystery Machine like Max does on the front of Nux's car from Fury Road. And I just thought that was incredibly cool. I really hope someone makes a Mad Max Lego set at some point. Or if anybody has Mad Max Interceptor builds for Lego, please send them to me. Mike at thisweekingeek.net. So Lego Dimensions should take you about 10 hours to go through. It's a very fun game. Like I said, I'm having a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of really good humor, especially if you know these franchises inside and out. If I did have one complaint about the game, it's some of the puzzles are really friggin' annoying. Anything involving colors, because you have the Lego pad, sometimes you'll get trapped in something and you may have to walk into like a puddle in the game, and that'll change the color of your Lego person, and you have to keep moving them around the board to change colors to solve certain puzzles or to do certain boss battles. That was a bit of a pain in the ass. If I did have one complaint about it, though. But overall, it is such a fun game. I cannot wait for them to put out more stuff. The Ghostbusters pack comes out in January, where you get Ecto-1 and I think Peter Venkman. Then you get Stay Puft and Slimer in, I think, April. There's a bunch of DC ones. Superman's not out yet. I think he comes out in Wave 2 or 3. But right now you get, like, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Aquaman. Bart Simpson comes out in just a few weeks. Doctor Who comes out, I think, on November 3rd or something like that. So, it's going to be fun. Like I said, it's one of those games I did not expect much from, because it's Lego, and everybody's played Lego like 1,000 times. I didn't expect to walk into it and have this much fun, nor did I expect to spend this much money on it, because, like I said, it's like crack. The fact that I could have the witch and her flying monkey fight Doc Brown and the Doctor, that's cool. So you should probably pick this up. It's available for every major console that I'm aware of, except, like, the handhelds, and even that I'm not sure of. But I got it for Xbox One. I'm having a blast, and hopefully you will too. That comes to us from Traveler's Tales and Warner Brothers. So guys, that's going to do it for this edition of the Nerd News Network. Like I said, I really hope you guys will check out buycostumes.com. I was honestly surprised on how quickly I got stuff and the very large selection of stuff you can get there too. So anyway, guys, tomorrow night, very late, we will have the topic show between me and James Rolfe, also with Ryan and Roebuck, going to be talking the Evil Dead franchise. So the video games, the movies, the musical, we'll be talking about all that tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. Also later on the week, actually tonight, really, really late, you'll hear my thoughts on Halo 5 Guardians for the Xbox One. Also, me and Jamie will have a spoiler-filled discussion for Halo coming up in the next little bit. We're going to talk about holiday gaming coming up on Tuesday. And I also have an interview with voice actor Mitchell Whitfield coming up later on this week. And I might be talking to Jamie Kennedy. I'm still waiting to find out about that. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd for ThisWeekInGeek.net. And I'll catch you guys again right here on the Nerd News Network, only on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh, my God. There's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F*** you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with a shat.
Okay, I'm good, Geico.
Holy shit! Oh my gosh! Freak! Die! Holy crap! Whoa! Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are
you?
Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.